What's going on, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. Of course, I want to thank all the listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Again, you can find me on Twitter at Weiss Sports, where my work can be found on Sportsnet, ESPN's The Undefeated, the Toronto Star, as well as play-by-play broadcasting for Saga 960 AM Radio. Again, the Locked On Blue Jays podcast is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. So make sure to like, rate, review, and subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
On today's episode, it's another mailbag edition of the Locked On Blue Jays podcast, and I'm once again pleased to be joined by MLB analyst Jen Smith. Jen, welcome.
Lucas, I don't normally follow athletes on social media, but I am so starved for baseball content that I recently started following Vlad Jr. on Instagram just so that I could keep track of his off-season workouts. So I'm just for the listeners out there, if you haven't seen it or you have seen it, like I've done a fair number of the exercises that he's doing, but certainly not with those types of weights or that much agility or anything like that. What the work that he is putting in is intense and difficult, and he is so motivated. I cannot wait to see what kind of shape he's in come spring training and what he's able to do with that on the field. It's really something else. It's really enjoyable to watch, actually.
Well, as the kids say, Jen, you love to see it. And it's really true. I mean, like you know, it really is. It's something that I think gotta get Jays fans really excited. And I can't wait for spring training when these players are interviewed for the first time in a few months, and so they can chat with the media about this. Because I think you're going to see some really fire quotes about what their offseason was like and just how motivated they are, like you said, Jen, to avenge last season. Because let's face it, it was a missed opportunity. This was a very good ball team, but they're ready to get into the playoffs in 2022, and I think it's going to be an exciting season. Like we talked yesterday with Ethan, which you can definitely check out on our Locked On Blue Jays podcast archives, it's going to be an exciting Blue Jays season.
I think this team probably feels like they've got something to prove, right? As individuals, as well as collectively. So I expect them to come out swinging, pun intended.
There you go. Always can rely on you, Jen, for the puns. Let's get to the mailbag.
Okay. So we have several questions here, and they're interesting ones in terms of, you know, how we're going to sort of, you know, end up answering these. So the first one that I'm going to read you comes to us from Philip Parkinson. Assuming MLB starts on time and the Sky Dome does not open the roof till May, how likely is it that there may be a seating capacity limit? So this is a really interesting and timely question, of course, with MLSC implementing a 50% capacity here in Ontario, as well as the fact that we know, of course, that the Blue Jays tickets have already gone on sale, right? The home opener, of course, is already sold out, and so on and so forth. So this is the question from Philip. How likely is it that there will be a seating capacity limit?
Well, we don't know, you know, I mean, and, you know, that's the simplest, the right answer. I mean, Philip, if you're listening, this is a very fluid situation. Like, fluid has been one of the most used terms in 2020 and 2021 to describe the pandemic, but it's true, right? Like 1 week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that's probably a very different answer to that question to what it is now to then 2 or 3 weeks from now, because we don't really know what Omicron is going to do, the Omicron variant specifically for society. And look, it's definitely concerning seeing the capacity limits, because for a lot of fans who have waited so long to get back into sporting venues, to not have that opportunity is unfortunate. But, you know, like this is the world we live in. And you hope by, but this is what I will say. You hope by the baseball season, which of course, you know, getting into the warmer weather, more people outside, and you hope with more people taking their COVID-19 booster shots that, you know, we'll be in a better place and that there won't be any issues of capacity limits. But again, I'm not a doctor. I don't know where we're headed, but obviously I'm hoping for the best, because I think the Blue Jays, for their first full season back in Toronto, it would be awesome for them to play in front of a full house. And I think that's going to make this team and this season so much more special if they do that. But you got to think about health and safety first. And if that's what's, you know, deemed the most safe thing to do, then that's, you know, not up to me. That's up to public health and health officials. So I want to hope for the best, but again, like it's definitely tough, Jen, just given where we are right now, like you said, where, you know, the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, you know, some teams are just riddled with it. And a lot of these players are vaccinated.
Every time I go into a particular grocery store chain, every 5-10 minutes or so, they play an announcement that says, due to the ever-evolving situation involving COVID-19, blah, blah, blah. And I swear this message has been being played since March 2020. I've heard this announcement so many times. But it is an ever-evolving situation. It seems like every single day there is another piece of information, another concern, another tactic that is being tried and implemented. So it is absolutely impossible to know what things will look like come April, right? Come the start of the season. Again, we're also assuming that the season is actually starting on time. So that's something we could even just as a separate question debate as well. I'm going to assume that the season will start at least close to on time, because nobody's going to want to lose money from missing games, right? So I would assume that there will be baseball being played at some point in April, but you're right. All we can do is look at the situation now, and with the capacity limits that are being implemented, that is to go with the situation as it is right now. We have absolutely no way of predicting what that situation will look like come April or May. But, you know, I think it's possible. Obviously, there's seating capacity limits, but there's absolutely no way to say one way or the other.
And what I've said for a while now, as it pertains to these questions, the virus dictates it, right? I mean, and that's always been the way, and that should be, you know, the way it will always be, right? Like at the end of the day, the virus is the one that's dictating this. And, you know, again, as fans, you just got to hope that, you know, you can go, and that, you know, there will be a time where you can go and really enjoy baseball and whatnot, because it is a lot of fun. And baseball was one of the first events, Jen, certainly in Ontario, where you and I are based, that saw the return of crowds for the first time in over a year. And I think that was a really special moment to see full capacity crowds returning to the city. And I don't know, like there's something about baseball compared to the other sports where I think it really makes that moment very special and that communal experience so incredible to be able to just sit with your friends or your family or even just yourself to watch the game, enjoy the food, enjoy the atmosphere, enjoy what you're watching in front of you. I think that's what makes baseball special. But again, this is a very evolving situation. What is the case now isn't going to be the case necessarily in a few months. But I would like to think that with the rollout of boosters in Ontario, I think that gives us hope that, you know, maybe we could get to full capacity come April when the weather is warmer and more people are outdoors.
Right. And we all want that full capacity stadium, if at all possible, right? Because how exciting was that when they did, you know, eventually return to Toronto? And I know that was sort of a little bit different because there had not been baseball in Toronto in so long when they did return at the end of July. But then just the excitement of that full stadium and the run that the team went on. You know, it all kind of coincides together. And we're assuming that this team is going to be pretty special next year. We're assuming that they're going to do some really exciting things on the field. And you're right. I certainly hope that fans are going to be able to fill that stadium and enjoy it.
MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Of course, we're doing our mailbag episode today. We're going to be continuing that in just a moment. But first, let me check with our friends at Built Bar. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar, Built Bar. Filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. So how do you get said Built Bar? Well, you go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, we're back. Lucas Suisse, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. On the Locked On Podcast Network. Again, I want to thank all the listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Jen, we continue on with the mailbag.
So you and I have been talking a lot about the Blue Jays' infield needs, particularly as it pertains to third base. So our next mailbag question comes to us from Keith Duncan, who asks, if the Jays do not go after Jose Ramirez or Chris Bryant to fill the hole at third, how likely do you think it will be that Jordan Groshans gets a shot?
I don't think very likely. And that's not a knock on Jordan Groshans. I mean, you know, you never know. But if the Blue Jays don't go after and don't improve that third base side, I think you and I would both agree, Jen, that's, you know, a little bit of would be a little bit of a sore spot to me. I'm sure it would be for you because I know, you know, you've been very high on the Jose Ramirez talk, as should all baseball fans. But let's just look. I mean, Jordan Groshans, he had a solid year last year. I mean, not the best, but pretty good. But again, he was in double A, right? So I really think that there needs to be a lot more growth there. You know, his numbers, 291, 367, 450, 7 homers, 40 RBIs, 75 games played, 316 plate appearances. I mean, it's just hard to really know who Jordan Groshans is. And, you know, again, unfortunately missing that 2020 season did not do him the best of favors. the Blue Jays right now have options at third base. Are they the best options? No. But, you know, Santiago Espinal, we saw what he was able to do last year. His defense is pretty good. The offense, questionable. But, I mean, he did have some bursts last year of solid offense, particularly towards the end of the season. So I would, you know, again, you want to get an upgrade. I don't know if Jordan Groshans is going to take that large a step to go from double A all the way to the majors and make an impact. He's exciting, but I just think right now a little too early to know about Jordan Groshans.
Right. He lost out on the 2020 season, of course, being a minor league player. And, you know, he did play at double A last year and you gave the numbers. You know, he hit fairly well at double A, but it is still a big jump from double A up to the majors. And, you know, I would assume that he has still, in terms of the organization, has an awful lot of development still to do. He was invited to spring training 2021, which does show that the organization values him and, you know, maybe wanted to give him an opportunity to position, but that his size and his profiles well as a third baseman. But I don't think he's there yet. And as you noted, with Santiago Espinal and the job that he did at third base next season, if the Jays are unable to actually get somebody to play that position, then they've got somebody internally who's already proven that he can do it at a reasonable level. So I don't think I'd be shocked to see Groshans, you know, get that job and be allowed to run with it in any capacity.
I think what fans need to remember is that development takes a while. I mean, it definitely takes a while. It's not a quick process. You know, I think someone like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you know, was a little bit of, you know, an anomaly, right? Like, you know, he made his debut, April 2019, you know, but again, you know, it takes a long time. It's not always, it's not like other sports where you can jump in and make an instant impact. Baseball is a sport where you need the reps. You need that time to, you know, get acclimated, get the confidence, get the mechanics, all that fine stuff in order to even get to the major league level. So the question I would ask is, like, is Jordan Groshans maybe a prospect that gets dealt? I mean, that to me would be interesting, right? Like, you know, you're always thinking about prospect capital, Jen. Is he a guy that gets dealt? You know, like, again, because you're in a win now mode, right? And I know that sometimes Blue Jays fans, they're not used to that because it's, you know, Toronto sports or whatever. And they may have memories of 2019 and all the years prior of struggle and mediocrity and all that. But it's a win now group. And prospect development now, as much as it's cool and a good story, there are just prospects that could be used as trade chips to get someone better. So it'd be interesting to see your thoughts about whether you think Groshans could be dealt.
Maybe he could be dealt for J-Ram. I don't know. Who knows, right? I agree, you know. Don't get too attached to prospects, right? Like, obviously, in organizations, there are certain prospects that you know are organizational pieces, right? They were not going to trade Vladimir Guerrero Jr. as a prospect. We knew that, right? So those types of players or those types of prospects, I think, are kind of the anomaly. Anybody who doesn't sort of profile like a Vlad Guerrero Jr., I think is absolutely a trade chip should the right trade come along. So don't get too attached to any of these prospects. And as you said, this team is in a win now mode, and I've said it repeatedly, in my opinion, if this is a team that is serious about contending, then they need to have a better option at third base than who they currently have in their organization. I understand that they might not get it done during the offseason for whatever reason, in which case, all right, there's Santiago Espinal. We know what he did last year, and it would be him at third base again. I'm interested in finding out, once the CBA is signed, where the rumors sort of pick up and how the Jays end up trying to go about this, right? Do they go the trade route or attempt to go the trade route and get somebody like Jose Ramirez? Or do they go to that free agent market and try to snag somebody who's looked like Chris Bryant?
Really tough call. The one thing I'll say about prospects before we move on is, like, I know, again, you say, some people get, prospects, but like, name me prospects when they get dealt that become superstars. I'm serious. Like, you can't, right? Like, unless you're a baseball, aficionado that like studies prospects for a living, and that's, totally fine, of course. But very few prospects to get dealt in trade. Think about the prospects that got dealt for David Price, Troy Tulowitzki in 2015. They're not around anymore. They're not around. So you make those moves in a heartbeat to get better, to win championships. That's what it's all about. To use your words, Jen, handing the banners.
Prospects will break your heart, but flags fly forever. And
that should be your Twitter bio. That should be your Twitter bio.
I'll change it as soon as we're done here.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, anyway, as you can tell, I'm joined, of course, by MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. On the Locked On Podcast Network, we are continuing our mailbag questions. It will be back in just a moment. But first, let me check with our friends at Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before, as football season continues to march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, I'm back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank all the listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Jen, the mailbag continues.
Yes, so I have an interesting one. This was sort of written as a losing, if you will. And it says, I am not sure Jays bats get off to such a good start as did this year. I wonder if the Jays bats benefited from a smaller park, but more importantly, playing in a warm climate. I also wonder if the warm and humid Florida weather and no dome may have had the opposite effect on the pitching staff, especially starters. So Lucas, what do you think in terms of both the bats and the pitching? Did they potentially benefit from being in smaller parks and warmer weather?
So I agree about the pitching, that the pitching was tougher in those smaller ballparks. And because of the fact that it was a smaller ballparks, and I remember that earlier in the season, like that was a big talking point about how the Blue Jays pitchers were just giving up a lot of home runs, and that would have been a little bit of an issue earlier on in the season. The bats thing, I think, is interesting. I don't think it had one way or another, because we saw what they did when they came back to Toronto, particularly the month of September, right? We saw what this team is able to do. I mean, Vlad was hitting dingers, all that great stuff. Now, again, you could make a case, well, Vlad had that great start. Was that more Vlad? Was that more environment, ballpark? I like to think that what we saw at the end of the season was what we're going to see going forward with this team. And I know it's like easy to think about, well, Dunedin, Buffalo, like that was a once in a generation situation. I hope that never happens again. I really do hope it doesn't happen again, because the reason why it happened, because we, you know, what was a global pandemic. That's the reason why it happened. But it is an interesting question. Like, you know, how, and you would love to talk with the guys and sort of see, and I'm sure if, you know, the question was asked at some media availability during the summer, but it would be interesting to hear them in spring training be like, okay, like now we're going a full season at Rogers Center, right? Like, did they really get affected with their overall development? Like, I don't think it really affects George Springer that much. Like, he's already an established player in this league. Maybe for some of the younger guys, though, it'd be very interesting. But look, this team did very well in their own ballpark. That's their home. And hopefully that trend continues upcoming for the season.
So I looked up the number of home runs the team hit collectively each month. So April was their lowest home run total. They hit 35 home runs collectively. May, June, July, and August were all essentially the same, ranged from 39 to 42 home runs, right? So some of that would have been in Florida. Some of that would have been in Buffalo, and some of that would have been back here in Toronto. September, October, they hit 66 home runs. Now,
there you go.
I did not separate out four games versus road games. Okay. I was just looking strictly at raw numbers, but, you know, obviously some of those home runs in there are on the road, and some of them were in their, you know, home ballpark. So, you know, looking at that, you know, I know some players do benefit from the warmer, more humid weather, right? Edwin Encarnacion [S2] Sure. [S1] Was famous for starting off a season cold and then heating up as did the weather. So is it possible that certain players benefited from having a warmer climate in terms of their batting statistics? It's entirely possible, but looking at the team stats, you know, it's really obvious that whatever was clicking for everybody in September and October, you know, they collectively, they hit 282, 349, and slugged 534. So, you know, that was, how much of that was the comfort of home and the home crowd? I have no idea, but it is interesting. If you look at the pitching side of things, I think you're right. I think playing in those smaller ballparks certainly did not help the cause. If you look at the starters' collective ERA, it was definitely higher in the early parts of the season compared to the latter parts of the season. Same thing if you look at their home runs per nine innings, 1.59 and 1.71. April, May, 1.69 in June, and then July drops to 1.3, August, 0.64, and then 1.45 to finish off in September, October. So, you know, definitely the pitchers were giving up fewer home runs and fewer runs overall. Some of that would also be having added Jose Barrios to the rotation, right? That would have also improved those numbers a little bit.
Well, that's amazing, like, how low August is, because it makes it, again, a little bit frustrating still a few months later after the fact, because the Jays did not hit well that month, right? And that was sort of the month where things, you know, it was about to become an 18-wheeler falling off a cliff. I mean, you know, the couple of Detroit series and some other ones. But again, you know, you see what this Blue Jays team is, which is primarily offense and you know, coupled with the pitching, you saw what they were able to do in September. And I like to think that the home ballpark played a factor, right? I mean, and we talked about this on previous episodes about that. Like, it's very hard to quantify being at home and what that means. I mean, it is called home field advantage for a reason. And I just think, especially last season, given the weird circumstances, you know, you can't help but think that that helped the club a little bit more, especially as the games got more important.
Right. And, you know, there were so many factors going on last year. It's really hard to try to tease all of them out, right?
Between
the different ballparks. So, you know, it's possible that somebody benefited from the fact that they were playing in a smaller ballpark, but then the toll of being on the road and not having, you know, sort of that stability, how did that offset it at all, right? Like, there's so many, it was such an interesting season with so many of these, you know, unquantifiable factors. I'm not even sure if the players would be able to sort of tease it all out for themselves as to, you know, what played a role in their performance and what didn't. And you're right, it's interesting, you know, about August and how well the starting pitching staff pitched. And that was the offense's worst month aside from April, you know, and it really is, not that we want to lament it through the off season, but, you know, there was one more win in there in August for sure.
Well, listen, Jen, we're going to be doing a Festivus episode of Locked on Blue Jays. So we're going to save the airing of grievances for one more week. So, you know, hold them tight right now, because we'll definitely have those moments of lamenting and airing of grievances to share. Because I definitely agree that there were moments where you could get a win there. And I really hope that this is the last season in our lifetimes where the Blue Jays have to do what they did in 2021 and that they just play in Toronto. Oh. So we can just compare it to Toronto.
It would be, it, you know, fingers crossed, they are able to play their entire season with Toronto as their home. Sure. That would be phenomenal. And, you know, let's see what this team can do with a full season in Toronto with fans supporting them.
Jen, anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
Just that. Oh, okay. Here's a quick question for you.
Okay.
I can't remember who it was on Twitter, what entity posted it, but it was the Faces of MLB across the U.S., right? Most popular player by states. Mm. Did you see that?
I did see that. Yes.
So it's somebody posted that it was the United States of Shohei, because he seemed to definitely dominate the popularity across the U.S. Who would be the face of the MLB in Canada, and would it be different when you get to the West Coast?
Yeah, I mean, very interesting. I mean, I would say Vlad right now, certainly in Canada. I mean, feels like would be the most recognizable Blue Jay, right now in Canada. I think depending, again, I mean, maybe in different pockets, for sure you may have local guys. I mean, you know, depending on where you go. But look, I mean, you know, maybe, you know, I bet in the greater Toronto area, for example, I mean, you may have a sprinkling of Jordan Romano, right? I mean, being from Markham, Ontario. But I think collectively right now, I would say Vlad, just because he's a star, okay, man. He's
so
like
Vlad is an easy answer, obviously, just like Shohei is an easy answer. So remove Vlad from the team. Who's the face of this team?
I would say Bo.
Okay.
I would say Bo right now. I mean, I think he's been, I mean, he's been on, you know, he's done some, you know, he was on that Sportsnet Christmas special a couple years ago with Serge Ibaka and some other athletes. He did a lot of, like, you know, video, you know, he's big into video games. So he's done some stuff on the gaming space and, you know, the hair, right? The bowl flows, right? I mean, like, that's becoming quite popular as well. So I would say Bo Bichette for me right now, if Vlad was not on the Jays.
I would tend to agree. I think that he's, you know, a very popular player. The Bo flows and the memes and so on that seem to get generated from him. I think definitely it would be him. I think you could maybe at different points in time, obviously make arguments for different players. It would be interesting to kind of track that, you know, over the course of the season, remove the Vladdy factor and sort of see where the interest lies.
Yeah, like George Springer, I think, like, if he performs in September in the playoffs, sort of like what he did with Houston. I mean, I know that's mirrored in controversy, but he was a playoff performer. And that's how I really recognized him, was that he seemed to rise to the occasion when the games got bigger. And I think when that happens, he could become very popular in terms of, you know, people wanting to know him and whatnot. I really like Teoscar Hernandez. I think he's a fun guy. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. with the pineapple, like that too. So all this to say, Jen, this seems a lot of fun. You know, I know we sound like a broken record, but this seems a lot of fun.
This is a really likable team, right? Somebody posted a tweet a few days ago about, you know, would you rather the 2015 team win the World Series or would you rather this group win the World Series? And it was just a Twitter poll. And my reply to the tweet was that this is objectively a much more likable team than the one in 2015. It's not just Toronto fans that like this team. It is, you know, fans across MLB really did enjoy watching Toronto play this past season. So, you know, obviously, we can't wait for the season to get started here.
Absolutely. But unfortunately, we are out of time for this edition of the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. We do want to thank, of course, all the listeners who did contribute questions to this mailbag and of course, have helped us with a lot of great questions for some of the parlor games that we've played and whatnot. It truly has been a lot of fun. But before we sign off here, Jen, where can people find you on Twitter?
People can find me at baseball_Jen, and that is Jen with two N's.
MLB analyst Jen Smith. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Now make your second listen. Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Locked On Blue Jays is also free and available on all platforms. So for this episode, of Locked On Blue Jays. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. We'll chat again soon.